year, we're starting a brand new sermon series today entitled 2020. And I can't tell you how excited I was. I know every pastor in America was excited when we found out we could start preaching about 2020. Right? And I think everybody expected what you were going to get when you started. When we say 2020, what are we usually talking about? We're usually talking about vision. Now, let me go ahead and just for the record, and I don't want anybody to raise your hand. No hands. A lot of people, when we start a new year, a lot of people make resolutions. They make resolutions. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to be nice to this person. Whatever that resolution is, I don't know. I'm going to eat more greens. I don't know. Whatever. But people like to make resolutions. Last year, I pulled up a bunch of statistics about how many resolutions actually got followed up on, right? Because we love to make some resolutions on January 1st. My favorite is we get together. We always get together with family and we cook a big old spread of food, right? You know, you got all the food. You got your cornbread and your black-eyed peas, the collard greens. You get some ham. And because we're in the South, you usually got three or four other dishes out there too. Hallelujah. And what happens? You get so much food that you need plates the size of, you know, steel drums. And you sit there and go, yeah, in the new year, I'm going to lose some weight. Whatever. You ain't going to lose no weight. Not eating like this. And we talked about that last year a little bit, about how many resolutions actually get followed up on. So I'm not going to tell you that you need to make some resolutions. What I am going to tell you is that as we start a new year, it's common for us to want to reflect on what things we have done well in the year past and maybe what things we could stand to improve on a little bit. Amen? And if there is something in your life that you would say, you know, I could stand to be a little better. Maybe I could be a little better. This is a great time to start on that journey to being more Christ-like at the end of this year than we were when we started. And I say we because guess what? I have some things that I need to work on too. Amen? None of us have arrived. We all have opportunity to grow and to be more Christ-like day over day, week over week, month over month. Amen? But there's something about having an actual date in the calendar that motivates us to seek improvement in our lives. And I hope that as we talk about goals, let's not say resolutions, let's say goals. I hope that as we talk about those areas for improvement, that Christ is front and center. Amen? I hope that Christ is front and center and having that deepened relationship with Christ, I hope that that is at just the center of what you're planning. When we say 2020, and especially when I say, do you have 2020 vision? Obviously, as you can tell, I do not have 2020 vision. I've got like 22,000 vision. That's why I got these big Coke bottle glasses on. But when we say 2020 vision, typically we're talking about, it's an ophthalmological term dealing with the eyes. And it relates to the ability of a person to see things clearly as they are. Can we accept that definition? When we say that we have 2020 vision, it means that if I'm looking at Brother Terry, do I perceive him as he truly is, or do I perceive some kind of a fuzzy shape? That's what I see without my glasses, is kind of a fuzzy shape.
With lost weight, right?
Absolutely. Very slim, svelte. Maybe I need to take the glasses off. Maybe mine's kind of nice. Hallelujah. This month, I want to look at how our 2020 vision is in some key areas of our life. So as we begin 2020, I want to look at some key areas of our lives and ask the question, are we seeing these areas as they truly are? Or are we seeing them kind of our version of it? Maybe a little more trim than it is in actuality. Are we truly seeing things as they are? Amen? So the first thing that I want to examine as we talk about having 2020 vision, the first thing that I want to talk about is, do we have 2020 vision of ourselves? Do we have 2020 vision of ourselves? One time there were these three sons. They left home. And as things go, they went through life and all three sons prospered and became very wealthy. And they got together one year on Thanksgiving and they were talking about all the things that they were going to do and give to their mama as a thank you for all of her hard work and the raising that she had done with them. And one of the sons said, well, I have done well and I'm going to give mama a brand new, top of the line, fully loaded Mercedes. Woo, mama. I'm going to give mama one of them hot cars. The other son said, that's nothing. I'm going to take mama and I'm going to build her a mansion right over there on the hill. It's going to have 10 bedrooms. It's going to have every comfort that you can imagine. I'm going to build it for not a penny of mortgage. I'm going to give her that house. The other son said, listen, I got you both beat. I've got this figured out. Y'all know how much mama loves to read the Word of God. And she's having some problems with her eyes. Her eyesight's not too good anymore. She can't read the Bible anymore. And I went out and I found a church. And all the deacons and the elders of this church have spent the last 20 years training this parrot to recite the Word of God. All you have to do is just tell it a verse. You say, parrot, John 1:1, and that parrot starts reciting the Word of God from John 1:1, and it'll keep going until you stop. It knows the entire Bible, cover to cover. I'm going to give her this parrot. That way she can hear the Word of God. So they leave, and they go through, and sure enough, they get back together for Christmas, and every one of them has done just as they said. Mama comes in and says, son, I want to tell you, I appreciate that vehicle. That car you gave me, it's nice. But you know, I really don't go anywhere, and it just sits in the garage. I really don't get to use it. Thank you, but it really wasn't a useful gift. She goes to the second son and she says, son, I appreciate the house that you gave me, but you know, I don't get around too good. And I just sit in the one room, but I still got to clean this whole house. I got to clean. Some of the ladies, when I said a mansion with 10 rooms, I saw the ladies like, no, this ain't going to be good. But she said to the son, son, I still got to clean this house. I appreciate you thinking of me, but I really don't have a use for it. I wish I was back in my old small house. Less work. She said, but son, you had the gift. You know what your mama likes. That chicken you sent me was delicious. That chicken was delicious. Sometimes not seeing things can get you in trouble. We can make mistakes if our vision is not good. Amen? So as we talk about having 2020 vision of ourselves, knowing that we might make mistakes if our vision's not good, we have to start with having a full understanding of ourselves. Amen?
So the very first thing that I want us to understand as we talk about having 2020 vision of ourselves, first thing I want us to understand is this. Without Christ, we are dead. Without Christ, we're dead. And whatever life it was that we were living prior to coming to know our Savior, and I'm using the term life very, very loosely, because I'm just going to speak for me personally. The life that I had before Christ wasn't all that good to talk about. Amen? Whatever life we had was not worth having. Ephesians chapter 2 puts it this way, and this is going to be our key text for today. We're going to keep coming back to Ephesians 2 a little bit. Ephesians 2 says it this way. It says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's who we were. "Among whom also we had our conversation in times past, and the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Paul says it here in verse 1. Let me go back. Paul says, you were dead. He says you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. So what is the status of our life before Christ? We didn't have one. We didn't have life. We had death. Before Christ, we had a death. And whatever we thought was life was smoke and mirrors. What Paul is saying is that in our natural state outside of Jesus, if we can do the wrong thing, you better believe we're going to do the wrong thing. That is our nature. It is the nature of mankind outside of Jesus Christ to be in sin. It's the nature. It's because sin is ingrained within us. Everything we speak, all of our actions are a reflection of someone. No matter how intellectual or self-aware we may be, everything outside of Christ is dead. Amen? Verse 1, Paul says that we were in trespass. Trespass. Now, trespass means to be someplace that you ought not be. Amen? To be somewhere that you ought not be. I've got a friend of mine that lives up in Washington, D.C., and they were telling a story about driving along one time. They're driving, doing their thing, and all of a sudden, the car gets a flat tire. And she says that her friend turns into just this random parking lot. Gonna check on the flat tire, you know. Can't ride around. As soon as they pulled in, she said, "We gotta go. We can't stay here. Get out." And about the time that she said that, about five cars start driving in to where they were in this parking lot. Come to find out, her friend who did not know the area had turned into the Pentagon through a back entrance that they weren't supposed to be in. They were trespassing. They were not supposed to be where they were. And there were consequences to being in the place that they weren't supposed to be. Amen? Now, was it intentional? Did it matter? Nope. Didn't matter. Because they were in a place that they were not supposed to be. What Scripture is telling us when it says that we were dead in trespasses and sin, I love the way that Paul is putting this. Paul is making it very, very clear that our nature, while our nature was one of death, that we were dead in a place that God never intended us to be. That place of being dead in sin is never what God intended for his children. Being in trespasses and sin, while it was the result of our actions, God said from the very beginning, this is not who you are. And I love the fact that Paul points it out. It's not just that you're dead. You're dead. And this is not God's plan for you. You're not supposed to be over here. Because God has a better plan and a different plan for his children than being stuck in sin. Amen? So the first thing that we need to know as we talk about having 20/20 vision of ourselves is that without Christ, we are dead. The second thing that I want you to understand this morning is this. Our life is not our own. Our life is not our own. See, as believers, we have to recognize the fact that our life is no longer ours. The moment that we were saved by God, he took a life that we were wasting and gave it purpose and gave it meaning. At that moment, it stopped being about us and started being about him. It stopped being about us and it started being about him. Let's go back to our key text this morning, Ephesians 2. We're going to pick back up in verse 4. Ephesians 2 and 4 says it this way. It says, but God. Now, Pastor Bob has preached in the past, every time you get one of those, but, you got to stop because it's a transition. It's a transition item. See, we went back from 3. Let me come back here for just a second. In 3, we're talking about all this ugly stuff that happens when we're trespassing in sin, among whom we had all our conversation in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and were by nature the children of wrath. That don't even sound good, does it? Let me tell you, it ain't. And Paul transitions, he says, even when we were by nature the children of wrath, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. See, verse 4 begins, but God. And we know right there that there's a change of events that's about to take place. See, God, in his goodness and in his mercy, is not content to leave us trespassing in sin. God is not content to leave us where he never intended us to be, even though we deserve to be there, even though we earned the death that we were living. God said, I love you too much to leave you where you are. I would have you with me. And it says, by grace, ye are saved. Even though we deserved the wrath of God, God is making provisions to save his children. God in his mercy reached down to us when we were dead in sin and saved us. But in doing so, he not only saved us, but it says here in verse 6 that he has raised us up together. He has raised us up to where he is. See, the life that we had was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. The debt that I was unable to pay and the debt that you were unable to pay has been paid in full. That debt has been paid and we have been brought to a new state of being in Christ Jesus. Our life is not our own, but our new life in Jesus Christ is only by grace. Our new life is only by grace. And as we start 2020, as we talk about having 20/20 vision of ourselves, it's important that we understand this. Because as we continue talking in the weeks to come about all of the areas that we need to have 2020 vision in. Everything stems from the fact that we are new creatures in Jesus Christ. Everything happens because we are new creatures in Jesus Christ. I want you to look with me again at our key text, and we're going to start this time at verse 7. So we did 1 through 3, 4 through 6. We're going to get 7 through 10. All right, here it says, 7 through 10. It says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Paul tells us here that we've been saved by grace through faith. By grace through faith. Now, does anybody, and I'm going to raise my hand before I ask the question, did anybody ever, when you read that the first time, kind of sit back and go, I'm not sure that I completely understand the distinction that's being made here of grace and faith and which one I got to do and which one God's... It's a little confusing, isn't it? First time I read it, I kind of looked at it and went, I don't understand. And sometimes God has to get very basic with me. I'm just being open and honest here. Sometimes God's got to get basic with me before I can understand some of the big things. I got to really understand the little things at a basic level that I can build on. So I want to spend a little bit of time with this morning, this idea of by grace through faith. So I want us to take a little bit of a trip this morning. You are all now joining the first International Living Word Community Church trip to Antarctica. You are all explorers. We're going to go plant the flag at the pole. Is that North Pole or South Pole? South Pole. We're going to plant the flag at the South Pole. We're going to need jackets. And here's the problem. We need to get over there. But between here where we are, and this is good solid land, everything from here to there is a frozen lake. And if I fall in this frozen lake, it's so cold, and the air temperature is so cold, if I fall in this frozen lake, there's absolutely no chance that I will survive. It will be an immediate and horrible death if I should fall through this frozen lake that's between where we are and where we need to be. No chance of survival. And I'm going to step out on this ice. And I step out on it. And it holds. It holds. And I'm able to cross this ice to get to where I need to be and plant the flag on the South Pole. Everything went well. All right, now why do I take this trip to Antarctica and the South Pole? When I stepped out on this ice, I looked at it. I kind of inspected it. I don't see any cracks. It looks like it ought to hold me. And when I take that step, I am taking a step based on what? I'm taking a step based on faith. I am looking and exerting an action because faith without works is what? Dead. Y'all are so good. I'm just proud to know y'all. Faith without works is dead. So I am exerting an action. I'm taking an action based on a belief to say that I think this is going to hold me up. But is it my faith that's actually holding me up? What's holding me up? The strength of the ice. See, I had to take an action. I had to actually step out, trusting that this ice was going to save me, that the strength of the ice was sufficient to bear me up. And everything that I'm carrying, and we could take this analogy really, really far, all the baggage that you would have to carry going to Antarctica, you'd have just bags and bags weighed down with all the things that you're carrying. And I got to trust that this ice is going to hold me and all the baggage that I'm carrying. Let me tell you something. The grace of God will hold you up. And all the bags that you happen to be carrying when you got there, it's the grace of God that saves us. It's the grace of God that holds us up. It's the strength of God's love and the strength of God's mercy that bears us up from where we were to where we are. But we have to exert our faith to accept it. Just like it's not my faith that holds me up on that frozen lake, it's the strength of the ice that's bearing my weight. But I got to step out on it. See, the strength of God's love, like that ice, is strong. He's not going to let you fall. He's not going to let you fall. But we have to have faith. We have to be willing to accept it. There was a day, if you are saved, there was a day that you stepped out on that ice. You stepped out on the strength of God's love and said, God, I have nothing left. And I am willing to give you everything that I am. But I need a Savior. And His love never let you down. If you have not made that step, then I want you to know that today can be your day. But not just in the area of salvation. Not just in the area of salvation. There may be areas of our life that we're happy walking with God over here, but this area over here, I really think that I need to take control of. I need to make sure that I'm responsible for this little piece because I don't know about this. Sometimes we keep situations or circumstances and we try to hold on to them ourselves. That's what Paul's talking about when he says, by grace through faith are you saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. The only thing that we did in getting saved was giving up and giving it to God. The only thing that I did was being willing to step out onto a frozen lake that I had no hope of holding myself up in and trust that God wasn't going to let me fall. And guess what? He didn't. He held us up, and He will continue to hold us up.